Good morning, everyone. Another edition of the Mary Griffith Show is underway today. We have a very special guest on this Friday after Thanksgiving. Giving up some of his valuable at-home time to be my guest today is Stephen Musholt. He is a graduate of Quincy Notre Dame in 2013. He was the valedictorian of his class. He's now in the top 5% of his class at the United States Military Academy in West Point. He'll be graduating from there in May of 2017 unless he completely screws up. We'll talk about that in just a moment. And he's had a very interesting military career so far, and he's not even been commissioned yet in the U.S. Army. So welcome back, Cadet Stephen Musholt.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's awesome to be back. You know, this is my third year back here, so, and I don't know how many years it takes, but eventually I expect like a Christmas card or to be invited over for Thanksgiving dinner next year or something like that.
I tell you what, my husband's a really good cook. If you need fattening up, which you do, frankly, you can come by. When you're home for Christmas, you give us a call. We'll make sure you have some of his homemade apple pie.
Absolutely will do.
Now, of course, a silent partner in all of this is former West Point recruiter Herb Wellman, who was also my drill sergeant when I was in high school with the girls' drill team. And Herb had to fill out the form AR-210-5 in order to get permission for you to come here and speak to me. And again, I always love that. The Army is nothing if not paperwork, right?
Oh, absolutely. The amount of paperwork and the amount of just stacks of papers everywhere is ridiculous, but it's all for good reason.
That's right. You've got to keep track of everybody. Well, we're going to talk about your brilliant military career, because even though you haven't graduated yet, you've done more things than most people do. I don't know what your bucket list is going to be. You've done it all. But I want to talk about this hockey operations intern with the Florida Panthers. How in the heck does that jive with a career in the United States Army?
Yeah, so West Point has a lot of really, really awesome opportunities. So it's called, what's called, you know, everything in the military is an acronym, so we call it an AIAD, which stands for Academic Individual Advanced Development. So basically, all that means is an internship. So West Point sends people to intern all over the country. You know, there's like opportunities at the White House, Congress, with Facebook, at Google, all over the country, like whatever. If you have some sort of field of interest and, you know, just keep pursuing it, then you can pretty much intern anywhere. So I'm a systems engineering major at West Point, and in that we have like three electives that we get to take. One of the electives that I took was a class that's called Sabermetrics, which is basically just analyzing baseball through stats. If you've seen the movie Moneyball, it's basically just completely based off that. Moneyball is like sabermetrics. That's like the science behind it. So I was in this class, and they talked about this possible internship. At the beginning, I thought it was going to be with like New York Yankees, so being able to do like stats analytics with them. But unfortunately, they didn't continue the work with the New York Yankees. But a former professor in the math department at West Point works down with the Florida Panthers in their operations department. So basically, he's their stats analyst. And so they gave the opportunity to send two cadets down there this summer to work with them, and just it was a really awesome opportunity. So I got to work. So I only had 2 weeks due to the busyness of my schedule this summer. I had 2 weeks where I was just down there, got to work with their department, got to meet a lot of really cool people. Was sat about 10 feet away from the general manager of the Florida Panthers for 2 weeks, so it wasn't bad at all.
So for those of us who are not math proficient, which is me and perhaps some others in the WTAD listening audience, I've seen the movie Moneyball, where
yes,
they basically take your on-base percentage. So if you can get to first base, that has value, because if you can get to first base, other people will get you around to home. It's
right.
Getting on first base has a certain value.
Right, right.
So when you're doing hockey, you're looking at, you know, how much can we get a player for versus what? Like, what are some of the things, a number of goals, obviously, assists, they're blocking. I don't know enough about hockey to ask an intelligent question. So, you know, I know that blocking is really important, and making points and assists, and the goalie, obviously, shot saved and stuff like that, and people who take shots on goal. So give us a little bit more detail. I mean, what were you actually looking at?
Yeah, so actually the specific problem that I was looking at, which I've actually am continuing work this year in a thesis, is I was really looking at their scouting department. So kind of the way they go about how do they scout these players. So a lot of it, you know, the very traditional way is where, you know, scouts go to games and they watch players and they, you know, like, do they got it or they don't, and they take notes on it. Well, the Florida Panthers are being more progressive in their approach, and it's just kind of looking at, you know, they look at a lot of very interesting statistics. So like they like coined this term like a hockey sense. So like, you know, they rate them 1 through 10 on this hockey sense, you know, how much time is on the ice. So another statistic that they really look at is plus minus. So basically all the plus minuses is what was the score of the game when they were on the ice. So, you know, if it's like +2, that means that, you know, the Florida Panthers or whatever team that they were looking at, that player and that team was +2 when that specific player was on the ice. Just kind of like get an overall sense of how proficient they were. But for me individually, what I'm doing is kind of optimizing their games that they go to. Because right now it's kind of willy-nilly, like, oh, we haven't seen this player in a month, you know, okay, we should go to this game, and they're playing against these teams. Well, what I'm doing right now, and which what I worked on when I was there, is kind of creating like an optimization, like the route they take for which games they go to. So there's another cadet that went down and did the same internship, but he was there a little earlier than I was, that he's doing the actual like game value. So he's basically assigning, okay, here's all these junior league games, here's all these current NHL, AHL, you know, there's a whole bunch of leagues, you know, NCAA Division I. There's all these games that we're going to. Now, how do we rate these games? So he's going to look at, you know, what players are in these games. He's going to look at, you know, like when the last time they saw him, when they saw him in a home game versus an away game, you know, kind of just like to get a better overall feel for the player. And he's going to create like this value, like, okay, this game is worth 160 points. And so that's pretty much what he's doing. But the Florida Panthers and the scouting department don't have a huge math background. So they're not going to be very open to accepting, okay, why does this senior at West Point tell me I should go to these games? The game's worth 160 points or whatever it may be. Okay, why should I go? So that's where I kind of come in. And right now I'm developing an app that basically provides that clarity for why they go to the game. So like, I basically the input for my app is going to be this algorithm that Cadet Eller is creating. And I am going to basically just represent that visually. So basically there's going to be like a dot for, okay, you should go to this game. They'll be able to click on the game and see why they should go to this game. You know, it has players X, Y, Z. We haven't seen them in, you know, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, and 8 weeks. Yeah, so it's...
Because I know, for example, my brother loves hockey, and he's a season ticket holder for the Allen Americans. They're the farm team for the Dallas Stars, and they're in Allen, Texas, just north of Dallas. So Florida Panthers obviously have these little farm teams. Plus, you've got, like, Minnesota, Big Ten, and Harvard's got hockey teams that are well-known. So to help, you're basically helping the Florida Panthers recruit the best talent so that they don't waste money. Another option, you know, for baseball movie enthusiasts is kind of like Trouble with the Curve. You know, the guy can't throw a curveball, so that's the end of it.
Right,
you can
absolutely
have a brilliant fastball, but you can't be a one-pitch wonder in the major. So this is really interesting. So you're the guy in Moneyball that Brad Pitt kept looking over to, and you would just nod.
Yeah,
that's
basically.
You.
Yep, yeah. I'm the Jonah Hill of the Florida Panthers.
All right, that is great.
You know, maybe one day. Maybe, right now, I don't think they'll take me too seriously. That's kind of what the person that I was shadowing is, definitely the Jonah Hill of the Florida Panthers. But hey, you know, maybe someday after the Army, when I decide to get out, and if I decide to pursue a career, then who knows?
Who knows? Well, you can take those hockey skills and turn them into baseball. That they'll love you for that. You know, it's funny because I thought, now what could he be doing with the Florida Panthers? Maybe he's working on their security system at their arena, or maybe he's teaching these hockey players how to fight more effectively. They pretty much do that all the way.
Yeah.
I thought, what could an Army guy be doing? And I never thought about a math algorithm to see how they recruit the best players. So it is amazing in your college career. You've had opportunities that most people at other colleges can't even dream about having. So that is phenomenal. My guest today is Stephen Musholt. He is a senior at the United States Military Academy at West Point. He is in the top 5% of his class. He was the valedictorian at Quincy Notre Dame, and he is going to be commissioned when he graduates in May. Now, we've talked a lot about things you've done in the past, and we want to touch on those again because you're proficient in German. And you've spent some time in Germany working with the armed forces over there. What is next for you? I imagine you'll get Thanksgiving break and Christmas break, and then you've got to really hit it hard because you're graduating in May.
If I pass all my classes.
Well, you know, will. Gotta
stay out of trouble, too.
I doubt if you'll go from first in the class to last in the class in one semester, but please hold it together. Don't do as I say.
Okay.
So what happens on May of 2017? You throw your little cap in the air. But then the Army still has their hooks in you.
Yes,
so
they do.
What happens to you?
Yeah. So it was actually really interesting. A week ago yesterday, on November 17th, was what we call branch night at West Point. So there's 17 different branches in the Army, 17 different fields, basically, 17 jobs, whether that's like aviation, so flying helicopters, or military intelligence or military police. Well, on November 17th, we all found out our branches, so basically what our future is going to be. So I'm going to be an infantry officer. It's what I wanted as my first choice. And for those of you that don't know what the infantry is, it's basically what you think of when you think of the Army. It's those ground troops. It's those people that are on the front line, that close combat with the enemy. And so that's what I'm going to be doing. And then in January, we have a very similar night. It's what's called post night. So we find out where we get stationed. So whether that's Texas or North Carolina, or for me, ideally, it's going to be Italy or Germany. That's when we find out where we get stationed. So right now, I just know my job. I don't know where I'm going. But after graduation, we get a little bit of time off, and then we go to what's called Basic Officer Leadership Course, or BOLC, BOLC for short. And so what this is so everyone at West Point is trained the same. You're trained the same throughout your entire 4 years. I don't get any different training than Joe Schmo if he's going aviation or whatever it may be. So what this is what this BOLC is it's 4 to 6 months of pretty much job-specific training, because we just found out our branches, we just found out our jobs, so now we have to be trained in those specifically. So like for those that are flying helicopters, they'll go to flight school. For those that are military police, they'll get trained for about 4 to 6 months. It kind of depends on everyone. Each branch is its own length. So infantry is 16 weeks, right around 4 months. And so I'll go to that, which is at Fort Benning, Georgia. After that, I'll go to Ranger School, which hopefully is only 62 days long, but some people like to make some if you don't do too well, or you kind of injuries happen, sicknesses happen, you may spend a little bit longer down there. And then after Ranger School, I'll pretty much just go wherever I find out that I'm going on in January. So whether that's Italy or Germany or Texas or Hawaii, wherever it may be.
Wow. But your chance of getting posted to Germany or Italy are higher because you are proficient in the German language, right?
So actually, proficiency in language has nothing to do with it. It's just completely based off your class rank.
Really? So yeah. Your AR-215-whatever
yeah.
That says you have all this skill, you could be based in Hawaii and some guy that can't speak a lick of English gets to go to Germany. Okay.
Basically.
Well, that's the Army. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's because, so there are certain jobs that you can, that like, maybe like a translator, or,
Also
something that's called like a foreign area officer. But those opportunities pretty much present themselves after like 5 years of being in the military. For like the basic 17 branches, no language proficiency really does anything for you.
Well, that's interesting. We've got to take a break because, you see, when I talk with this young man, I just want to keep going because he's so fascinating. But Stephen Musolt is home for the Thanksgiving break, and he is a West Point military cadet, the United States Military Academy at West Point, and in addition to being an intern with the Florida Panthers, he also, does air assault school and all that other kind of fun stuff as well. So we'll have more of this conversation when we come back.
Help to make the season bright.
A little Barbara Streisand with the Christmas song. 9:35 our time. My guest today is United States Military Academy cadet Stephen Musolt, and he is, as he just said, he's got some busy times ahead of him. And, nobody who's a senior in college right now is coming home probably knowing exactly what they're going to do when they graduate in May. But it's interesting because, in a sense, you know exactly what you're going to do. You just don't know where you're going to be doing it in many ways.
Right, exactly.
So it's kind of intriguing. Now, why in the world would anyone volunteer to be in the infantry and be on the front lines of fighting? Your mother and father didn't have a discussion with you about this?
They definitely did.
Isn't there some nice safe job you could have had, carrying a banner in a parade or something?
Yeah, no, they definitely did. It was a tough decision. So it's pretty funny because the night that about a month before we actually found out what we put in, or we found out our branches, we actually had to put in our preferences. On like this online database. And so the preferences were due at about midnight, and I click submit at about like 11:35 p.m. because it was a tough decision.
Was second?
Second was engineers. So I had an awesome opportunity to go to what's called Sapper School this past summer, which is basically kind of like Ranger School but for engineers, and I really enjoyed it. That definitely opened my eyes up to what, maybe a combat engineer would do, as well as just open myself up to the engineering branch. So that was number two, and then number three was aviation, so flying helicopters. But why infantry? I don't know. I just really, someone gave me a really interesting perspective earlier this year, and it was kind of, you know, think about all the officers that you've dealt with at West Point, because, you know, 70% of our instructors are military, and they all come from different branches. And said that, and they said, think about what the officers you've had with and you've dealt with in those specific branches, and then that, you know, kind of accumulate those into one, and that kind of gives you a sense of the culture and a sense of, like, the branch. And I don't know, I just really have enjoyed all the interactions I've dealt with infantry officers, as well as, like, all the training we've done at West Point. So we get pretty much a majority of the training we do is infantry-based training. We get exposure to a couple of, you know, pretty much in a very minor detail, all 17 branches. But I would say a majority of the training we do is infantry training, and I just really enjoy it. I really enjoy what we do. Wow. I think it's where my skill set lies. I think it's what I'm best at. And yeah.
Well, I wish you all the best and very safe. I hope for safety for you. It's interesting. Now, you'll graduate with what we would call an engineering degree. So you'll either make the Army your career.
Yep.
And have you made that decision yet?
I have not.
No, who would?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. But if you make it your career, one thing. If you don't and you get out after you're required to serve what? How many years to pay off this very expensive education the taxpayers are providing for you.
Right, yeah. So it is minimum of 5 years active duty.
Okay.
And then, so technically it's an 8-year contract so it's 5 years active duty as well as, and then 3 reserve. But a lot of times based off needs of the Army and, you know, Congress's budget and everything, a lot of times you can get those 3 years of reserve just nixed because, you know, if you don't really want to be there and, like, they don't really want to pay you. So a lot of times it's really just based off needs of the Army. A lot of times you can get those nicks. So we say it's just 5 years active duty, but technically it's 8.
Okay. And then after that, you could get a job with an engineering firm or do whatever you want,
right.
I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of colleges brag about their, you know, employment rate. You know,
right.
90% of our graduates had a job within 4 months
right,
after
yeah.
graduating. At West Point,
100%
have a job. It's very intriguing. Let's talk a little bit about some of the other opportunities you've had. Now, when you talk about this Ranger School,
yes.
Is this like Navy SEALs, or is this something every Army does? Is the Army Rangers that elite group, or is there another group above them?
No, yeah. So there are. So in the conventional Army, the Army Rangers are going to be pretty much an elite group. So as an infantry officer, we're all required to go to what's called Ranger School. And so if you graduate Ranger School, you get the Ranger tab, which is what a lot, I mean, I'm sure you've seen pictures of it. So it's what's called the Ranger tab. And so when you do this, you're Ranger qualified. So you're not technically in the Ranger unit.
That
you're
would
just
be,
Ranger qualified.
That's when they make you, that this is something pretty intensive, but it's not going out and living on bugs and
no, not
carrying
quite.
A log
no.
over your head for 100 days. Okay, so you get Ranger qualified. Then if you want to go on and be in that special forces, then you involve yourself more deeply.
Right, yeah. So actually, West Point graduate from Macomb, Brian Elliott, was actually just selected for the Rangers. He'll be moving within this week or maybe next week down to Savannah, Georgia, where he'll be with the 1st Battalion of the 75th Ranger Regiment. And so it's pretty much once you're Ranger qualified, so once you've gone to Ranger school, you pretty much like – you are qualified to be in the Rangers, so now you just basically submit an application, and then you have to go to, like, another 2-week school, 2 or 3 week, like, kind of selection phase. But once you're Ranger qualified, that you've basically knocked out at least 90-95% of all the prerequisites. And so, yeah, so there's the Rangers, and then there's also what's called Special Forces in the Army. So that's kind of, you know, our version of, like, Navy SEALs, for instance. It's basically those. You know, they have a completely just different mission set.
That's the group that, like, went in to get bin Laden and
right,
stuff like
exactly.
that. So that's an extremely elite,
right.
very small number of people in each branch of the military is in that kind of... And again, you know, it's not that they're better than anyone else. That's just what they
right,
want to
right.
do.
Right, that's what they right. want to do, which is what they felt called to do. And
so very intriguing. You know, you mentioned, you know, you could have put engineering and could have got that instead of infantry, but, you know, engineering, you know, the people that make the bridges that the tanks go over and all this temporary stuff, it is quite fascinating. The Army is, you know, people make a lot of jokes about the Army, like paperwork and stuff
right.
like that, but I'm sure one of the things that you think about a lot, because you're going to be leading men and women, is it's just like in the news business. You have a timeline. You have a deadline. It's happening.
Right, absolutely.
You know, it's happening whether you're ready or not. So it's kind of an intrigue, and that really takes some brilliance, some mind. You know, obviously you're a very smart person. You graduated with very good grades. You can have a lot of people that are book smart and don't have a lick of common sense. I look at myself in the mirror every day and say, really? Put my hand in the candy jar and can't get it back out. You know, I really have some issues. So how do they train you? How did they train you to work with people? Because you're going to have to work with some men and women that barely graduated from high school. Now, that doesn't mean they're not smart.
Right.
But they may not have been given some of the critical thinking training you have. So is that one of the things that I would think that would be a big challenge is motivating an all-volunteer Army force.
Right. Yep.
And also, you know, they're not going to understand the mathematical statistics for how to choose a Florida Panther hockey player. But they still have to get from point A to point B and do so in a reasonable amount of time.
Right.
That's a skill to lead that kind of person.
Yeah, absolutely. And so at West Point, we have a lot of just opportunities to work with people. So whenever we do the military training during the summer, they kind of shuffle up. So, yes, we're working with classmates. You know, we're working with West Point-specific people. But it's really it's just giving you exposure to working with different people with different personalities. Everyone joins the Army for a different reason, and so it really just gives you exposure to working with those different people. And then once we graduate, like once I go to Ranger School, like not everyone there will be a West Point graduate. You know, there'll be some people that are, you know, 18, 19 years old who enlisted out right out of high school. And so, again, you just get that exposure to working with different people, and it just gives you that familiarity with however you're supposed to do that. And then plus, once you get to your actual unit, the people that you'll be leading, so once I get my platoon of about 40 people, again, hopefully I'll have time to, you know, just do tough and realistic training in order to, you know, better ourselves as the unit and then just get used to working with them, you know, get used to, okay, this, you know, Private Joe Snuffy, you know, joined the Army because it was like his only option. You know, like that's very possible. And so you just kind of got to find out what motivates them. And that just really takes, you know, getting to know them on a personal level. You got to find out what motivates them, what makes them, you know, what makes them tick, and what's going to, you know, produce the best possible Army that we can have.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting. For some people like yourself, you know, the Army is something that has provided you with an absolute top-notch, world-class education that is the envy of any other university in the United States. And for others, it's a way to get out of, you know, maybe a small town where there aren't any opportunities. I always remember, I don't remember her name, but there was a woman who was captured very early on in the, I guess, Operation Desert Storm or something like that. And they asked her, you know, what in the world are you doing driving a, you know, food truck through the sands of whatever? And she said, well, I could have, you know, gotten a job at the big box retailer and been a cashier probably the rest of my life, maybe got to supervisor, and that would be about it.
Right.
Or I could take this risk and join this. And she said, you know, despite the fact that, yeah, I was captured and it wasn't a pleasant experience, this is better for me in the long run. This is my chance to prove myself and to change my family circumstances permanently. So, yeah, that you'll see. I mean, the great thing about it is you're dealing with volunteers.
Right, absolutely.
So everybody that's there wants to be there.
Right, everyone wants to be there, you know. Like you said, and like we've talked about, it's everyone's for maybe a little bit different reason, but yeah, it's a really awesome and unique force in that we are an all-volunteer force. You know, we're the largest Army in the world right now, so you definitely work with some awesome people, and that's why, you know, pretty much hands down, the number one reason why people say they stay in the Army and make a career out of it is the people. Just you're working with awesome people, you know, like those type A personality, those people that are just motivated for a better cause, you know, just not going to be, you know, not going to be complacent and, you know, accept mediocrity, because we can't do that, especially if we're fighting wars. You definitely can't accept mediocrity in war. So it's just being around those awesome people that are just going to push you in order to make the organization better.
We've got to take a break. We're heading up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. Altorfer Caterpillar and Monsanto bring you this newscast. And we'll be back to continue our conversation with Stephen Musalt of Quincy, who is going to graduate in May from West Point. Karen Carpenter, the late, the great Karen Carpenter, Home for the Holidays, the Thanksgiving song. And Home for the Holidays is Stephen Musalt from the United States Military Academy. He did you have a big Thanksgiving yesterday? What kind of food is prepared for those poor thin boys that come from West Point that haven't been fed enough?
So normally my family have like a pretty big Christmas, pretty big Thanksgiving. So it's normally on my father's side. My father has three siblings. And so normally like all of our families come together for like an overall, like pretty big Thanksgiving. But this year, everyone kind of did their own thing. So it was my family, as well as one of my dad's sisters, their family. But their eldest son is in the Navy. He's in the Marines, and he's in like flight school at the Marines, and he wasn't able to come back. Plus, my brother is deployed to Kuwait right now. And so he wasn't able to come back. And then plus my sister is in physician's assistant school. So she's right now all around the country doing her clinicals. And so she actually didn't come home, for Thanksgiving this year either. So it was kind of just a lot of just random people, random assortment, but it was good. I had a lot of family, that I got to see and eat, and definitely had a lot of turkey, a lot of mashed potatoes, a lot of stuffing, definitely a lot of pie too. We got to get those calories up, because we burn a lot. But yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. It's always nice to be back. It's always nice to be home and see whoever you can see.
Well, your family and I know your father and his siblings well, and it's too bad you're such underachievers. One deployed to Kuwait, one in the military academy, and one becoming a physician's assistant. If only you would strive for higher goals. But it's just great. And, I guess, unfortunately, the thing I'm going to say is, are you guys ever going to come back and live in Quincy, Illinois? Or is it Bright Flight? I mean, I know there's no U.S. Army base in Quincy, Illinois.
Right.
But ultimately, I feel bad. We've taken the best and the brightest and shipped you off. And will we ever see you again? And will your brain ever help us out again?
Yeah. So I guess the future is unknown, and we're just going to have to take things day by day. So a question that was brought up earlier that a lot of people ask is, are you going to make a career out of the military? Right now I don't know at this time. I have 5 years of service. And if I enjoy it, I'll keep doing it. If there ever comes a point where I just want to stop, then I'll get out. I have no idea if I'll make it a career. So, 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, whatever it may be.
Well, and a lot of things are going to change because we are going to have a new perspective on the U.S. military,
right,
with our
absolutely.
Incoming president, and that may mean more jobs opening up rather than a shrinking military, and
right.
a growing military gives more chance for advancement, obviously. One thing about the military academies, there are foreign students. You mentioned we have the largest military, but China's right up there behind us,
right.
pretty good. Do you have any? I can't figure out who our friends and who our enemies are. I don't even know if maybe you can, but are there people from China training at West Point? Are there people from... I know there are people from foreign lands, so
right.
like, is China one of those foreign lands, or do we say, no, now, wait a minute, we don't want to teach you how to eventually maybe come and beat us up? I mean...
Right, yeah, so it's kind of interesting. So I'm not the forefront of, I don't have the most knowledge on, the admissions department and who they select, but from my understanding, it's we select students from, regions of interest. So, there is, Afghani cadets... as well.
And that makes perfect sense.
Right, absolutely. In regards to China, so there's kind of two types of foreign cadets. There's those cadets that spend all 4 years at West Point, so they literally go through everything, and then once they graduate, then they go to their foreign military. Or there's those people that do a semester abroad, kind of what I did in Germany. There's opportunities for that. And so those are the kind of two foreign cadets we have, and right now I don't think there's Chinese cadets in either of those. We do get exposure to China in that we have what's called the Sandhurst competition. And so for those of you that don't really know what the Sandhurst, it's kind of like the Tri-Wizard Cup, if for those Harry Potter fans out there, of military competitions. And so it's basically you're on a 9-man team. West Point produces 36 teams. And then there's ROTC sends some teams, as well as foreign nations, like China does compete, Germany, England, Australia. I think last year there was 60 or 65 total teams competing in this, competition. So that's pretty much, from what I can remember, if I can remember correctly, the only exposure I've had to Chinese specifically, their army. But it's a really cool opportunity just to kind of see. It gets pretty competitive. And it just to kind of see, because it's the world against us.
Well, it is interesting, too, because I'm a big St. Louis Cardinal fan. But
right.
when the Cardinals were out, I rooted for the Cubs. So it's kind of intriguing. Here you sit, ready to graduate, in May, and we can say who are our enemies, who are our friends. That could change so completely in five
right.
years.
Absolutely.
And you're ready for whatever happens.
Yeah.
But a lot of the people who go to military academies are definitely our allies, and it may be I know the Saudis send their princes over
right.
because
yeah.
they are going to be the leaders of their community.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of our friendly nations send their people to our military academies because they're our allies.
Right.
And if we would ever have to fight together, it's nice to know that they have some of that similar training and stuff.
Right,
and
absolutely.
That's the thing you did in Germany was basically, I mean, in a way, it's kind of a friendship mission, even though you're talking about military stuff.
Right, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's definitely just to give us, you know, me specifically, like exposure working with the German Army. It's to give the German Army exposure to working with Americans. And it's just really just to grow that relation. It's definitely a huge component of doing these semester abroads.
My dad had, and my father-in-law had some work with the German Army,
yeah,
too. It was totally different than what you
did. Yeah, 1945 was a little bit different of a time.
But that just goes to show, you know, you don't know, and I he's not allowed to talk politics. It says so right there on form AR-210-5, so I don't want to get him in any trouble. But it is intriguing because you're learning a skill that you are prepared to use in the defense of our country. Even if that the most weirdest thing that could happen is somehow England became our enemy or
right.
something. But it doesn't matter because you are in the Army, you're under the command of the Commander-in-Chief,
mm-hmm.
and you're training to protect and defend your fellow American citizens against whatever
right.
you come up against.
All enemies, foreign and domestic.
Okay. It's been so wonderful having you.
Yeah, it's been an awesome opportunity. I enjoy coming back here every time. I'm glad we didn't bring up politics because I'm sure someone would have been mad or I would have said
no,
something wrong.
No, we don't, I know better than I probably crossed the line on who are our friends and who are our enemies, but it is interesting. And so, I just wish you all the best and good luck to your brother who's in Kuwait. And
yeah, I know that he's, you know, looking forward to coming back, but you know, he's doing what he can over there, you know, doing his mission and in the end, everything will be okay.
Okay. That's what we'll pray for and hope for. Thank you very much.